Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here for another wild day today. We've got news, of course, on the Twitter acquisition, going to spend most of the episode on that. But we've also got news on parts for Tesla vehicles. Tesla has made the decision to remove ultrasonic sensors from the Model 3 and Model Y, and eventually the Model S and X. So primary two topics today. We'll start off with Twitter. Looking at the stock first, though, Tesla today actually recovering quite a bit in the face of a strong macro environment, the NASDAQ up 3.3%. Tesla earlier in the day was up about 5%. And of course, around noon Eastern time, we see this big dip as this Twitter news started to break. Twitter stock around that time jumping up 20%. Stock halted trading and then resumed. And now we're pretty close to the offer price. So I don't know. I don't know what to say on the stock. I think we'll talk more about that in a second in terms of the implications going forward and the financing of this deal and things like that. But just to start off with what we know so far, this is a 13D that was filed with Twitter today, with the SEC today, from Elon Musk. It says that they are, on behalf of Elon Musk, notifying Twitter that the reporting person intends to proceed in closing of the transaction contemplated by the April 25th merger agreement on the terms and subject to the conditions set forth therein and pending receipt of the proceeds of the debt financing contemplated thereby, provided that the Delaware Chancery Court enter an immediate stay of action, Twitter versus Musk, and adjourn the trial and all proceedings related thereto pending such closing on further order of the court. So basically they're saying, hey, we're going to go through with the deal at the original offer price as long as the court case is stopped. So Twitter right now needs to make a decision if they want to accept that and stop the court case. This is the entire letter that we get from Elon. They attached it in 13D as well. Basically just says exactly what I said up there. And they say that they're providing this notice without any admission of liability, without waiver or prejudice of any of their rights in this trial. So if Twitter were to reject this, the trial could continue to go forward just as it has been doing. So of course, this is coming right before Elon was supposed to later this week make his deposition in the case. There was some pending discovery things that were, on tap as well. So it seems that Elon was getting to a place in the trial where he just didn't want to proceed any further. Whether that's due to that deposition, not wanting to go through that, more discovery, or just feeling like the case wasn't going in his direction, it seems that he has reversed course in what has been a very back and forth acquisition so far, and now decided to just go forward with the deal as originally intended. So Elon today on Twitter also tweeting, buying Twitter is an accelerant to creating X, the everything app. So we've heard Elon talk about this being like WeChat in the past. So, that's kind of the vision. And I'm sure some other things that he's got in mind as well. As we talked about last time this came up when Elon last sold shares, I said at that time that I do expect the deal to close. I didn't really expect it to close at full price, but it looks like that is what's going to be happening here. CNN Business Today reporting that Twitter's general counsel did send a message out to Twitter employees today that they received the letter and plan to close the deal at $54.20 per share, which is the line that they have always said. We're going to close at that original price. It says, I will continue to keep you posted on significant updates, but in the meantime, thank you for your patience as we work through this on the legal side. So obviously from Twitter's perspective, they just want to make sure that, if they choose to go forward, they're not giving up any leverage that they have possibly through the court case. Of course, there is that contingency that the debt financing needs to close. So, we're seeing Twitter stock right now at $52, a little bit higher than that after hours per share. But of course, the offer price $54.20. So the market is still pricing in a little bit of hesitancy or risk that the deal doesn't actually close, which, would anybody with all the back and forth that we've had at this point be all that shocked? Probably not. But I do think this is probably the conclusion. I do think it'll close at $54.20. We'll see what happens over the next couple of days, but I think this is gonna happen. So the big question, and maybe why we saw Tesla stock drop today, is okay, now that Elon's proceeding at full price, does he yet again need to sell more shares? Has he already done that? Possibly. Of course, last time Elon sold back in August, he had said that he was done selling, applying to Sawyer Merritt here. In the hopefully unlikely event that Twitter forces this deal to close and some equity partners don't come through, it's important to avoid an emergency sale of Tesla stock. So he'd also said something similar back in April. He had said no further planned sales. That's a different message than what we heard here in August. Doesn't necessarily entirely shut the door, but this was much more firm in terms of no upcoming sale. The other complication here is that we are in the sort of blackout period for executive sales as we approach Q3 earnings. Generally, there's supposed to be like a 30-day period there. So what we see here in the SEC rules and regulations are that during the 30 days immediately preceding the preliminary announcement of the issuer's annual results or quarterly results, they should not be selling any such securities unless the circumstances are exceptional, for example, where a pressing financial commitment has to be met. So you've got this 30-day window where Elon isn't supposed to be selling, no directors are supposed to be selling, because they would have material, non-public information. In this case, there is a possible exception where a pressing financial commitment has to be met. Obviously, Elon's acquisition of Twitter could be considered that pressing financial commitment. So that would be left for the lawyers to sort out. I looked for precedents on this Article 41.5. I couldn't really find much. So I don't really have any further speculation on that. Just wanted to note that there is a possible, precedent here that, or the, a possible exception that could be granted for Elon in the circumstances to allow him to sell during this period of time. Of course, we did have super high volume yesterday, about 100 million shares traded hands. Here is the volume over the last few months. So this is since June, so basically the second half of the year we're looking at here. These three red dots, those are the last time Elon sold. So back in August, I think the 5th, 8th, and 9th are these dates here. Those are the three dates we previously saw Elon sell. The others were back in April, but you can see that the volume yesterday, I have it in an orange dot here because we don't know if Elon sold yet, but this, the volume here was the highest that we have seen since last time Elon sold. That doesn't mean that we can't see volumes like that without Elon selling. Obviously, there are a bunch of days back here where we had similar volume. But if we look back at the last delivery and production report, which would have been on July 5th after the 4th of July holiday resumed trading, that's this little spike right here up to about 84 million shares or so. And here we're up at 98 million. So a pretty significant jump in volume. This report was probably more surprising, but and you've also got kind of a holiday weekend maybe impacting things there too. But certainly a higher volume day. Huge drop that we saw yesterday when we've seen that before. It's unfortunately has been days when Elon's been selling. We traded down in pre-market. The delivery report was a miss. There is plenty of justification for how the stock performed even without an Elon sale. But I think that there's a possibility that Elon could have been selling up, on top of that as well. So, of course, we'll find that out with Form 4s. Those need to be filed within 2 business days of those trades. So maybe we see one yet tonight. Probably not. Maybe we see one tomorrow night. If there is one, that would probably be the most likely. We had high volume again today. We were outperforming in the morning, so I'd be surprised if there had been Elon selling. But we did have high volume again today as well. So last time we had walked through this just to, put some context around, does Elon really need to be selling still? This is just a refresh from what we had talked through last time he had sold. So kind of going through the liquidity that was available for the deal, what had originally been committed to over here on the right. So far, Elon, through all of his sales and his Twitter shares that he had already acquired, that equity is about $19.3 billion pending what Elon's capital gains taxes were on his Tesla stock sales, as we had talked about. Those didn't necessarily have to be any... The cost basis on those could have been high enough where there wouldn't have had to have been any capital gains. So for this analysis, we're just assuming that there was not any because there didn't need to be. That's an unknown factor. Other investors had committed $7.1 billion, so that got the equity up to $26.4 billion. Debt commitment, that was $13 billion. Again, Elon says in this letter that that is still a contingency of this deal. But if you include that, you're up to just over $39 billion. The original total commitment was $46 billion, $46.5 billion. The acquisition price was $44 billion. So they left $2.5 billion in there for presumably closing the deal and things like that. Something that was weird, though, as we had mentioned before, is that Twitter's share count between Q1 and Q2, their earnings reports, it did drop pretty significantly. So if you assume that $54.20 share price on that share count that they reported in Q2, instead of $44 billion, it was actually $41.6 billion. So that cut a couple and a half billion dollars out of the requirement. So if you add the $2.5 billion in transaction costs that were part of the commitment before, Maybe you're looking at 44 billion in total. So if you've got 39.4 and you need 4.5 billion left, then that would get you up to that 44 total, 41.5 deal price. So I know that's a lot of numbers to walk through, but basically there's a gap here somewhere between $2 and $4.5 billion that's left to be raised. That could maybe come from Elon. That could maybe come from other equity investors. If it were to come from Elon, it could easily be a margin line loan. Elon had originally set that up to be $12.5 billion. Eventually, we heard that that was being removed as a part of these sales in April. And now it's all being financed with pure equity and debt. But Elon could easily just close this gap with a couple billion dollars in margin and call it a day. And, you know, he had $12.5 billion before. That would pose really extremely minimal risk in terms of a margin call for Elon at that time. That being said, Elon might just not want to do margin, and if he doesn't find other equity investors, that could be left to him to sell Tesla stock and then close that gap. But the other option then is obviously other investors. You know, $2 billion or so isn't a lot to find for other investors. I think Elon could pretty easily do that, especially now that he seems to be back all in on it again. So I don't know. We'll find out tomorrow, but hopefully that just gives people context for hopefully the last time that we have to talk about this Twitter deal. In general, you know, obviously mixed feelings. It's been a tumultuous period of time going from Elon buying Twitter shares to where we're at today, but I think we'll all be happy to move on from that. And I am excited to see what Elon does with Twitter now that it does seem like this deal is going through. So again, hopefully last time we have to talk about the financials. I guess we'll see tomorrow if we get a Form 4 though. All right, I think that is most of what we got on Twitter. The next news for today is that Tesla has, like we had heard previously on Radar, made the decision to replace their ultrasonic sensors with Tesla Vision. So they say, today we are taking the next step in Tesla Vision by removing ultrasonic sensors from the Model 3 and Model Y. We will continue this rollout with Model 3 and Model Y globally over the next few months, followed by Model S and Model X in 2023. They say that along with this removal, they have simultaneously launched their vision-based occupancy network, which is currently being used in FSD beta. So any car, Model 3, Model Y, produced from today forward in the United States, maybe in Berlin, probably just in the US for now, would be using the occupancy network that all FSD beta cars are using today. So not anything new there for FSD beta, just using that technology in these vehicles. They say for a short period of time during this transition, Tesla Vision vehicles that are not equipped with the ultrasonic sensors will be delivered with some features temporarily inactive or limited, including park assist, auto park, summon, smart summon. You know, I don't know how much value these latter three are really providing to people at this point. I think Elon had said at the AI day that we're hopefully going to see actually smart summon by the end of the year. They talked a little bit about full stack and the timelines there. Some speculation about November and end of year. I can't remember which date was which, but hopefully we're closing in on that. Obviously, Tesla's been working on that with a vision-only perspective if they're talking about, you know, these features coming back. So I would assume that those are correlated, and hopefully that means end of the year for some of these things. Park assist is probably the biggest one that people will miss. I think that would be the biggest one for me. You know, I'd rarely use any of these other three features, but park assist, pretty much every, you know, every time you're parking, is there and helping out. So I think that'll be the big one missed. I'm not sure how easily they'll be able to replicate that with vision only. They would, you know, it's based on where the cameras are located, it's never going to have quite as much at least forward awareness as an ultrasonic sensor would. But if the environment doesn't change, then should be fine, because it can obviously understand the occupancy of an area and just remember that as you're moving. So we'll see. Definitely will be interesting to see what Tesla does here. They do say that these will be restored, obviously, over the air. Starting in early October, all Model 3 and Model Y built in North America, Europe, Middle East, and Taiwan. So yeah, it looks like Berlin would also be included in this. No longer built with ultrasonic sensors. So really just missing Shanghai right now. They'll continue this rollout globally over the few months, and then followed by Model S and X in 2023. I don't know if they'll take away all the ultrasonics for the Model X. Obviously, they're using those in the doors, the Falcon Wing doors. I'm not sure if they'll want to solve that with vision only, possibly, but we'll see on that. They do say at this time, we do not plan to remove the functionality of the ultrasonic sensors in their existing fleet. So if you're not buying a new car, you don't really need to worry too much about this. And then here's just a checkbox of features that are available with ultrasonics and are not currently available. And again, it's just those four. So obviously this should be a cost saving for Tesla. I don't know the exact cost. I've seen speculation from like $1 per sensor to $15 per sensor. There are 12 ultrasonic sensors, so depending on where in that range the costs end up falling for Tesla, obviously they're buying in massive, massive volumes. You know, that's 12 million of these for a million vehicles per year. Tesla's already, you know, well above that, so they're buying a lot of these. If you cut that cost out, plus all the cost of adding it into production, wiring it up, this is probably going to be a pretty decent amount of savings. You know, if you midpoint somewhere between $1 and $15, you're probably looking at $100 million of savings annually for Tesla at their current run rate, pretty easily, just from maybe even from the sensors alone. And then you're, you know, reducing weight, you're reducing production complexity. So there are definitely advantages for Tesla to do this, primarily on that, you know, production and cost side, with relatively low hit to customers for hopefully a temporary period of time here. Personally, I wish Tesla would have just waited a little bit longer. You know, if they really do have these things coming out by the end of the year, my preference would just be, hey, let's wait a few more months, but not going to fault Tesla too much on these because I don't think these are really critical features for many people at this point in time. So again, hopefully we will see, you know, actually Smart Summon and some of these other things before the end of the year. All right, next up, just want to quickly touch on Rivian production for Q3. They announced yesterday that they produced 7,300 vehicles in the third quarter. They believe that they are on track for their 25,000 annual production guidance, which they had previously reduced from 50,000, but have maintained that guidance throughout the year so far. They delivered a little bit less than that, just over 6,500 vehicles. And if we look at our production chart that we talked about last time Rivian reported in Q2, this was kind of a really smooth curve up in production that they were following, and it seemed like they were pretty close to tracking towards that 25,000 goal, maybe falling a couple thousand short if they followed along in this. But here we can see how this has progressed now this quarter, and they have even taken it up a little bit further. So great to see for Rivian. I think they need about 10,700 vehicles in Q4 to hit their target, and I think they're, you know, looking at this pretty smooth growth curve. I think they're, you know, right on track for that for Q4. So, you know, congrats to Rivian for that. Great to see some progress with electric vehicle manufacturing here in the US from a company aside from Tesla, which has been rare so far. All right, I think that is it for today. I saw some comments on my hair. If you hadn't seen it yet, I did post this on Twitter, but yeah, I did get a haircut. It's been a couple of years, ended up donating it. So that was kind of what I was originally setting out to do. So yeah. It was a fun journey, COVID inspired, I think, and it's good to be back to a more of my normal look. But as always, thank you for listening. Make sure you are subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast, and we'll see you tomorrow for the Wednesday, October 5th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.